actively. We try to bring in that the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Bill. But let us first take the apology.
Yes, I think we received an apology from Ms. Sufan Demarwood and Mr. Khadiri, as well as Mr. McIntosh.
Mr. Khadiri's apology is qualified. His apology, he is at a WIPRI meeting, but he will come out here to vote. So we just have to give him notice, you know what I mean, sort of, bit of advice there to when to come. Mr. Hammond, can I ask you to sit on this side, please? Okay. And then when we've done that, we'll ask Honourable Sabasa just to monitor that process so that we can urgently get hold of our work to come along and join us just for that short period. Or in fact, here we are, we actually have his secretary. You're not moving furniture today, I take it. No, where are you? Yeah, so you're going to liaise now with the Honourable Kwabasa, please. I don't want any problems there, so that you bring Honourable Khadebe in at the right moment. On that basis, we would like to ask members if they already have the first draft of the IPAP report. Do you have the first draft? Yeah, I don't have it in my, I do not have it personally in my email. That's why I'm asking you, Honourable James, as well. Have you got it on electronically? Some people do. Yeah, you do. All right, just to make sure you have it, we're not adopting it, I take it, is that right today? And then can we have the adoption of the agenda? Seconded by Honourable Jack. All right, we're now going to get the input from Advocate Van der Merwe, Charmaine, without interruption. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. In respect of the National House of Traditional Leaders, we have received comments from them after the referral in terms of Section 18.1 of that Act. We received it on the 10th. It was dated the 10th of April 2013. I worked through the comments and I compared them with the comments made by the National House of Traditional Leaders during the first round of public submissions that were received by this committee. And there is nothing new. In other words, this committee has already considered every single comment made by the National House of Traditional Leaders in the comments that they provided now dated 10 April 2013. What I thought I would do is just to take the members quickly through the most important aspects of the comments that they made and just indicate where in the bill we've made provision for it and in what manner provision was made. So that you can actually be satisfied that we have duly considered this. The comments were made in a letter format, so not point by point. So I worked through each paragraph and I simply made sure that I captured the gist of each comment made. The first comment was that there is a need for the recognition and protection of the Indigenous knowledge system in South Africa. And my response to that is, this is in fact what this building aims to do. Secondly, also in that first paragraph of theirs, flowing into the second paragraph of their letter, they indicate that traditional leaders and their community should be involved in the processes. Your leaders should be the active point to the committee. Now, members, it was some time ago, but you might recall that we had a professor here that worked on the Biodiversity Act who advised us of a community protocol procedure. Now, the community protocol, if you can recall, was aimed on exactly doing what the National Health and Traditional Leaders here is requesting. The community protocol will identify the leadership structure of that community and identify in what manner and with whom any person who wants to make use of the intellectual property must do the negotiation. So the community protocol is clearly entrenched within the bill throughout, and in other words, whenever a third party wants to interact with a community's intellectual property, they would have to involve the community as well as traditional leaders. So that comment we have fully incorporated. Then I also made a comment they gave in this third paragraph under the title background. They gave an example of intellectual or traditional knowledge rather, and they indicate that sometimes this cuts across communities. Now, although that was not a comment as such as I could see it, I thought, let us in any event look at that, because they have made provision for that. So where traditional knowledge cuts across communities, we've actually provided that communities can share that ownership. And where it cannot be shared because perhaps there's too many communities or the communities cannot all be identified, then we've made provision in the bill that in that instance, the National Trust will become the owner. So even where the traditional knowledge is shared amongst communities, we have acknowledged that and made provision for that. Then I also make the comment on page 2 of the submission that the definition of traditional work as a literary work, artistic work, or musical work will cause conflict if communities have to determine whatever this is that they are registering. But we have kept this in mind. So the definitions have been thoroughly reworked by this committee. In fact, it has been, I think we had a couple of experts in to look at the definition. In addition to that, the bill also provides that the National Trust will assist communities, will provide training and things like that. So there will be that kind of assistance to communities to determine what exactly this is that they have. And if there then is a dispute, we also have made provision for institutions to be accredited that can then mediate in this dispute, and even in that, the communities and the leaders are involved. The next aspect that they made a comment on was that traditional leaders should form part of the National Council. Now, this was considered by the committee, but it was not in the end decided that the traditional leaders must in fact be specifically part of the council. What was provided for is that the minister may consult with the National House of Traditional Leaders before an appointment. But more importantly is that at least two persons appointed on the council must have expertise and extensive knowledge in and patronage of traditional cultures and values of indigenous communities. And that could very well be a traditional leader. The next aspect that they made a comment on is that they support the database, but they were concerned about confidentiality. That was also considered by this committee and specifically provided for. The provision is that in the database, first of all, a community can apply for something to be held in confidence. If it is sacred, it must be held in confidence. So already there is provision for that. The National Health and Traditional Leaders also request that your beneficiaries must be clearly identified. That has also been provision made for, in that your community protocol must be kept with any work that is recorded. That means with the work that is recorded, the owners, the structure of the ownership,
the beneficiaries, where that community is, how they operate, etc. All of that almost forms an intrinsic part of the record. So that has also been taken into account and actually brought into the bill. The next aspect is the ownership of the fund, where the National Fund was initially going to be the owner of all intellectual property that results from traditional knowledge. The committee themselves had a serious concern about that. A number of organizations expressed concern on that issue. That has been changed. So the communities themselves have been made an entity by law which can own intellectual property. So yes, it created a fictitious type structure, but by doing that in law, that community is now the owner of their traditional knowledge. And then royalties are paid to the owner. So if the community is the owner, they will receive the royalties. We have made provision in the bill for the National Trust to receive money. But that is only where the trust is actually the owner, and that is actually done in very, very exceptional circumstances. It is only where the author cannot be determined, or the indigenous community where it originated no longer exists, or for whatever reason it cannot be shared between more than one community. So it's very exceptional circumstances that the trust will be the owner, but when it is, that is when the trust can receive the funds. And what it must do with the funds has also now been clearly prescribed. We have also made provision that a community can request the trust, the National Trust, to administer the royalties on their behalf. In other words, receive it and make the payment whenever the community requests it. That will not be governed by law. It will have to be a contract between the community and the trust. But a provision for that was made for communities that, for whatever reason, may not have the type of infrastructure that can accommodate that kind of commercial need. And that was the last of the comments. So just to summarize, you can see that every single comment made by the House of Traditional Leaders, the National House of Traditional Leaders, has in fact been incorporated into the bill. The only comment was on traditional leaders being a part of the council, and that there has been made provision for, in the sense that although it is not expressly stipulated, the requirement is such that quite likely that is who the member will be. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate Streatham, Charmaine Streatham. Senator Murbach. I was going to say I didn't see Advocate Jan Streatham here, although I see the name is put down here. Was he here earlier? Okay. But we do have Mr. Simpiwe Nkana, Director of IP Law and Policy from BCI. Thank you very much, Advocate It does seem as if we have been on the right track then, and that the National House of Traditional Leaders concurs with what is there. But I think we appreciate you highlighting again the areas that would or could be identified as having a direct interface or impact. And I think that is useful. Members, we turn to you. We're not threshing this out repeatedly. As you know, we had looked at it, but we were advised that we needed to go this other route as well. In the main, the reclassification or tagging of the bill, process of the National House of Traditional Leaders, which for the record we had invited, they had submitted and they had engaged verbally. However, the clause
in the Constitution required that the letter that they were sent shouldn't have been sent by myself, but should have been sent by the Parliamentary Secretary. That was the technical thing more. So in spirit we had complied. So I now turn to you purely for a comment here. There's no need to deal with the substance per se, but I do hand over to the committee. I recognise Honourable James, Honourable Salah. I thought I saw you, Honourable Salah, yeah. Honourable Mabasa, Honourable Kwabasa.
Thank you very much, Chair. You probably saw that I was a little uncertain when you asked the question about whether I received the document or not. And I've now double-checked, because what I received was notice of the meeting, but not the document. So I don't have it. And so we haven't had time to consider this.
No, I wasn't referring to that document. Nobody has it, this one. I was referring to the document in the second item.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
But then the fact is that we haven't had time to consider this. We need to study the comments from the House of Constitutional Leaders in some detail, appreciate the summary by the advocate, but we certainly need time to consider this.
I was hoping for, from our own committee position, you know, within the structure here, was to have seen the response directly from them. I know we have, the advocate did indicate it was a letter directly that was sent by them. And I may not have looked at the documents very clearly myself. But in actual fact, and I'm not disallowing what you requested, but I'm just pointing out that I said this when I first got the correspondence or communication from the Speaker, that there was in fact no difference to the submission they had actually made to us already. It's exactly what they gave us, which is maybe why they decided to put it in a letter this time and not to come in as a separate submission. So it was on that basis last week that I noted that we were very pleased that we had received all of the information already. We're simply receiving all of the information again through a different channel. And I must emphasize that nothing has changed in their submission at all. But members obviously have the right to check on that for themselves against the submission that was made. But substantively, it was a process that simply had to be complied with. Honourable Salah.
Thanks, Chair, but then I want to say thanks to Advocate Fajr Nasr for the pains taken as well as the response to the committee in this regard. But I seem to read from Chairperson, from what you say, that there are three areas involved. The one area was the consultation with the traditional leaders, which Advocate has just presented, that there is no area of conflict between the traditional leaders themselves. They are all agreeing with what their house has said, and this seems to be the right direction. The second area has been a technical area, that there was this letter that was supposed to be written by the Office of Procedures, and our chairperson became proactive in that letter, and is therefore viewed negatively from other quarters. Whether we have been able to correct that and get the secretary of the legislature to do it, or we still maintain that it doesn't cut a piece of thread from anybody who made the letter. And the third area is
the issue of tagging. Whether we are satisfied with the tagging as it is, do we have the people responsible for the tagging? Considering that this bill or this act or this law is well kept. I think those two areas, I just want to ask for clarity on them. I'm not making any argument, just seeking clarity on where we are with those particular areas.
Let me correct the one perhaps I didn't comment effectively. We already complied with the letter issue. The letter was this time sent from the parliamentary secretary. You remember at the time there was someone acting at that particular time. So those issues are complied with. With respect to the tagging, the committee's already taken a decision in a previous meeting where we agreed. The only thing we were waiting for, the only thing which was outstanding, was for the letter to be written by the parliamentary secretary, which has been done, and for the response to come back. We thought it could differ from what had already been given to us. And it's quite clear that it doesn't differ in any way. So all of them are technical, in fact, and they've all been complied with now. But you still have the right to comment. Thank you. Honourable Mabasa.
Passage of this bill
take effect immediately so that we don't delay it any further. I thank you.
Thank you very much. Members, I want to just, let me first take the Honourable James again, as that is in addition to what was said. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps I didn't make my point clearly enough. I don't think that this is something that can be considered in 30 minutes. The legal implications of what he's doing is quite serious, and I think this discussion should be rescheduled and the decision postponed. Let me just say, just to point to one issue. What happens under copyright protection, what this current bill does, because it amends the Performance Protection Act, the Copyright Act, the Trademark Act, and the Designs Act, and it amalgamates that into a single piece of legislation, as you know. To make intellectual property part of copyright protection means, colleagues, that you only get copyright protection over a limited period of time. And what's required is for protection for indigenous knowledge to be given in perpetuity, not for a limited period of time. And so that's a massive issue, and it's clear that the House of Traditional Leaders didn't exercise its mind on this question. And so I think that what's required is for a consideration of all the implications of what it is we're doing here to be done, and that requires serious legal consideration and cannot be done in 30 minutes.
Right. I didn't interrupt you, Honourable James, out of courtesy, but actually we've long since passed that stage. I think when this bill first came to us, we were in E249, where I made it absolutely clear that on receipt, and I remember reading this out, of a remitted bill, the Speaker must refer the bill and the President's reservation back. And furthermore, we have to confine ourselves. I remember you raised the issue earlier, right then when we got it back. Can we now discuss and unpack the substance? Does this give us the opportunity? It unfortunately does not. We are obliged to consider and confine ourselves to the President's reservation. His reservation, which we had at the time, this is now the fourth meeting. The first meeting, we made it very clear in the letter, which you all got copies of, that the position was that was this a money bill, per se? And we concurred at that meeting, at the second meeting, with the President's views that this is not a money bill, and therefore doesn't fall under Section 77. And then the of the Constitution, 1996, and further after having been advised by the JTM, which the President also raised, shouldn't this have been a different section, agrees that the provisions of the bill do substantially affect matters listed in Schedule 4. Now that was something that we hadn't tackled previously, which the President asked us to tackle, that it should have been tagged 76. And we agreed there and agreed to send it back to the National Assembly then. And we were in the House when this was adopted unanimously, that the Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Bill be submitted to the JTM for reconsideration of its classification, and thereafter only referred to the National House of Traditional Leaders. Now, those were the... those were the issues. So, what we have here is we have now had the response back, which could have differed from what they had given us, which could have, but did not materially differ. But now we did comply with that technicality. And I think I've made that clear. So on the technical issues, we have complied, and we now have the report back. But having said that, and because this is a piece of legislation that's proposed, I don't, from a personal position, think that we need any more time. However, on the basis of what we've done in the past with the bill, when we get a report back, we do not vote the same day. It is my intention to uphold that position and ruling I have made earlier. We have a committee meeting on Thursday, which is sufficient time for parties who don't agree with my interpretation. But as I said, my interpretation I have maintained. It is the only thing extra that we have if we have the response from the House of Traditional Leaders. And that can be compared to the earlier submission to this committee. It does not differ materially at all. So on that basis, I am making the ruling that this will be voted to take it forth to the House. That decision will be taken on Thursday. So, I think it would be wise if members do look at the rules that we have referred to, and you will find that we have adhered to the spirit, intention, and letter. I would like to thank you, Honourable Advocate van der Merwe. I know we've also got an Honourable van der Merwe for being here and explaining that. I would like to ask you to be here on Thursday as well. Thank you very much, Advocate. Members, on that note, just looking for my agenda, here it is. I look at the time, and I'm sure we needn't we needn't go to tea. The tea is right there, we're rolling tea break. I'm going to ask you to move straight on to the report. And again, you've had several drafts of this. The addition is bulletin, am I right? And secondly, you were asked before bulletin ever came to please conclude your recommendations, your proposals. Obviously, bulletin came along, and if that has changed any of your recommendations, you should indicate. So I'm now going to refer to the consideration. It's not actually the first draft, but I suppose it's the first composite draft of the ICAP report. We'll be dealing with that now. Thank you.
Page 1.
2.
Page 2. Now, I'm just looking at the following public institutions that were invited. We've got them. And then we look at other stakeholders. Is Billiton not one of those stakeholders then falling here who were sensitive? Yeah, no, because I've asked you if you included the Billiton. Yes, we need to have Billiton in here. Now the issue is to should it be in fact here we've got NERSA and TNPA. Salga. Right, you need, no, but it should have been here. We've done it. That was the agreement we had, that they would, you would include them where relevant. Electricity tariffs. Page 4. Electricity tariffs. It doesn't look like this actually factored in the bulletin input at all. Because the issue was raised with them with respect to their low price and of course all the good work that they were doing, but also the fact that some of the smaller companies did not benefit from them. I'm thinking of one of them in the Free State, two of them who had to consider closing shop. Some of you will recall, I know Mr. Fadeli referred to them at some point. So I don't see bulletin factors in here, all right? Beneficiation. See Honourable Hill Lewis.
Why are we considering this if it's not the final report, if bulletin's not in it yet? Also, that's the first thing. The second thing is that this was on the agenda for Thursday.
Yes, if the word, in fact,
at the agenda point, this should have changed this word. It should have said deliberate. But as no one changed it, I didn't want us to now throw up the entire agenda. This would be, have been the first consolidated report with Billiton. Mm. That was our agreement last week on Thursday. Mm. Because that is why I asked for it to be handed out so that we could finalise the recommendations coming forth. Not to finalise them today, but to put them forth. So I know that bulletin is captured separately on a page further on, but my comment earlier on is that it should have been integrated. Do you follow? That was what we had all hoped. That's my understanding. So when it comes to beneficiation, for example, that paragraph may need to change somewhat because, you see, they do beneficiate, without a doubt. But what kind of beneficiation do you want? Do you want an environment in which you get special deals? You do beneficiate and others also beneficiate, all right? Should you not be at, perhaps all be considered, do you hear where I'm going, for the same deal? So, yes, all those who benefit, should they not be given special strategic consideration? Or the question is, should it only be Billiton? I think that's the question that Billiton engagement raises. So if you think it doesn't matter, we move on. That's the point I'm making. All right, so I'm flagging that because it was largely beneficiation and jobs, two of the country's priorities. Five. This is where we did deal with this. Page 5 hasn't changed. Page 6 hasn't changed. With one thing again you may wish to raise. When we have the issue of the port charges, for example, that industry and manufacturers complained, Portnet did indicate that they were going to revise the port charges for manufacturing. When it comes to Eskom, they did indicate that there was no scope, if you recall, when we were there, for any downward revision of their prices. Were you at that meeting? Yeah. Page 7. Now the page 8 has some changes. Let me see. That was one of the cleanup pages. Page 8. Page 9. Now the issue is that some of this bulletin stuff should not just be coming as one, you know, page as it were, but should be contextualized also with the energy itself. It is largely involved with energy, jobs and beneficiation. Who wrote the 2 pages on bulletin? Is it yourself, Mr. Herman? Yeah. Well, I wouldn't want it to sound like you unpaid PROs for bulletin. I mean, you know, my word, you've written half their, you know, end of year report for them, the introduction. I think we've got to be a little bit more critical. Well, will you all study this piece that has been put in there, in that respect? You were all there, I think. Right. Because one of the things which is not very clear here, which the committee did request, apart from that last paragraph about retirement and the upgrading of skills, is that the training arrangements could perhaps be broadened to offer training beyond just their own company. Page 11, there are 3 things here, but I think they are underlined. In the first paragraph, the bullet of the first paragraph, Solga, or just before that, you speak of rolling out and localization of smart grid and smart metering technology was an urgent priority, with conditional localization components through designation to improve efficiency and billing systems. I think it would be wise to put some examples in which we were given in their documents. Port tariffs. Right, program. Further on down at the bottom, towards the bottom of the page, one, two, the third paragraph from the bottom, through this program, Transnet proposes that cargo charges for labor-intensive products and value-added products be reduced. I think during our engagement and deliberations, etc., over the last 4 months, it's become clear from a press release and public statement that they have looked at this, but we don't have the date that the port charges will kick in. Does anyone have that date? Port charges have changed, or will, you know, when is it going to be implemented? Can you verify that and put it in? Just before that, though, you had the beneficiation strategy from the top 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth line, the committee as well as DTI welcome these proposals for restructuring. The High Court, yes, currently Transnet's tariff structure is shared between shipping lines, owners, cargo owners and tenants. On that basis, in its proposed alternative strategy, Transnet is set to restructure. I mean, this is where you need to consider where you may put these changes. Some of you will know that the World Economic Forum is here in the next 2 weeks, I think it is, and there is a focus on agriculture. And green products, etc. And some of you, if you can, you need to get you there. You then have a proposed conclusion. Having considered the inputs, etc., and you need to ask, does it look like this has changed in a lot of ways down here? I see the bulletins being put in, but you haven't noted the change dates there. And the committee has reached or drawn the following conclusions. The acknowledgements you don't have to worry about, we'll do them. The recommendations, I would like to hear from the committee now about any recommendations from October, I think it was, last year, if you would like to believe they should come in. And some of the newer ones, or the ones you wish to revise. Secondly, some of our recommendations may not be recommendations, but more suitable to the conclusion. So, I have an opinion myself on the conclusion, but I'd like to hear your comments, because we're not going to be going back to this area again, other than, you know, the final consideration, of course, except when we do the annual report and the final processes at the end of the year. All right. So, any general comment, that's what we want to begin with. Positive, negative, in the light of IPAP and the priorities that we were seeking to address. I'm looking on my left. We have one hand, the Honourable Hildes.
Chair, not a general comment. Can I just work on the wording of a recommendation and send it to you in order?
But that's what I'm saying, that we certainly, it may be a good idea to hear this.
Okay, no, that's fine.
To hear the recommendation, but your final wording, if it can go direct to the committee secretary, so that it's factored in blue or yellow or whatever for third shade you follow.
Yes.
But let's hear some of these recommendations. We all must have some by now, Honourable Hildes.
Chair, Chair, you'll recall from the hearings that one of the big problems was it was very clear that the different departments and state-owned enterprises did not work enough in alignment and in cooperation with one another. And so while the Department of Trade and Industry was desperate to mitigate the effects of administered prices in, for example, port charges, there was there was a profound lack of coordination with Transnet. So what I'd like to propose as the first recommendation is that we recommend the formation of an interdepartmental committee at the very highest level with ministers and chief executive officers of all of the departments and government entities involved in administered prices. So that would be the Department of Trade and Industry, the Department of Energy, the Department of Transport, Transnet, ESCOM, and we may think of some others that should be in that committee as well.
Right, I'll just comment on that afterwards because I'm wondering about the SOE, you know, parent safe work in with the department, but let's deal with that later. Honourable James?
Okay, just to add to that, I mean, the international precedent for what my colleague has recommended is this concept of a cost reduction caucus, which exists in, they certainly have one in the Netherlands, but they also, I think, have one in Germany. And so where all the stakeholders get together and as a caucus look at the question of keeping costs as low as possible and developing strategies accordingly.
I'm looking on my list as well, Honourable Mabasa.
I think another department that could come into the picture and that proposal from the Fahim is the Economic Development, ETD. But coming specifically to recommendations, I would recommend that SMEs and cooperatives be utilized as an essential tool to spread the benefits of the benefits of the industrial policy action plan.
Right, thank you, Honourable Mabasa. Is there anyone else who wants to come forth? Honourable James?
Chairperson, you would remember that in the public hearings, a recurring theme, which is summarized on page 3, that came through, had to do with the link between administered price hikes as well as the reference to skill shortages, low productivity levels, and a perceived restrictive labor environment.
Yes.
I think we should have a recommendation that NEDLAC as an institution ought to become far more effective and far more efficient and so on and so forth. And that that the role of NEDLAC and the structuring of NEDLAC and the possible funding of NEDLAC requires some investigation. In order to make it far more effective in dealing with these questions around skill shortages, productivity level, and the labor environment. I'm sorry, I don't have the right phraseology, but that's something I think that ought to be looked at as part of the recommendation.
Right, so we've got an idea of a departmental committee on the one hand, almost slight amendment to that, calling for more of a cost reduction, perhaps caucus may not be the right word, but forum of sorts, which then could include this. What I'm looking at is, if it's only going to be specifically on cost reduction per se, fine, but we do have NEDLAC that brings everyone there, but I wonder if you would like, Honourable Hilder, just to consider slightly revising your first, your recommendation you have already made, which you started off by talking about an interdepartmental, you know, committee specifically to address all these extra charges that make, that raise the costs of manufacturing, etc. If you should, couldn't, if you wouldn't consider as your proposal simply interdepartmental, whereas the second proposal, which is coming from your colleague, the Honourable James, may, while the cost reduction forum could support the principle, could be captured in the interdepartmental, there may be a need to broaden that on the other side to include the state-owned enterprises. So I'm asking that, but I'm also asking all of the committee to consider, should we keep it then separate in the sense that it would be departmental and then you'd have this other bigger forum, or is it one? Now, I saw that, I will come back to you, Honourable Kobasa, but there was another two hands there. Where are they? No, or I may have been just your finger there.
Yeah, Chairperson, I want to propose that a mechanism be found. I don't know about the structure that should do this. A mechanism be found through which all sectors that are giving rise to increases in administered prices be urgently investigated, so that further reduction of administered prices be informed by sexual outcome of, sexual evidence. That would include not just electricity, but water as well, things like outdated infrastructure. The mention as well of the distance between the supplier and the consumer, which is part of all of that, which further increases the administered prices. But also, secondly, which should be linked to the investigate the extent to which the investigate what form of renewable energy can immediately be put in place. That would further assist in reducing administered prices. Thank you.
And why do you want to defend
over this nuclear energy and so on?
Okay, so now, just before I come back to Honourable Hill Lewis, is there anyone else who wishes to make a point? Otherwise, I'll go straight to the Honourable Hill Lewis.
Thanks, Jen. My recommendation is particularly that it includes both ministers and, I think, crucially, the chief executives of the state-owned enterprises who are responsible for levying these charges. So I think the interdepartmental maybe is a misnomer. Maybe it should just be called committee. Whatever it's called, I really do think those chief executives must be included.
Let me just put our heads around the actual term, the name we want to call it. Now, the other thing you've been asked to consider, Honourable Members, is this principle of cost reduction. A variety. It may also link in with what you've just pointed out, Honourable Kobasa, about we shouldn't just be thinking in terms of electricity per se, but all of these factors that contribute to the costs of raise the cost, the input cost, shall we say, which then negatively impacts on the output cost, as we see. So we need both sides of that. The other thing which has been referred to, and we made a lot of reference during these engagements, we spoke about skills. No matter what you read these days, whether it's in publications, specialized ones, or the newspapers themselves, radio media, everywhere, and go to committee meetings and fora, you hear the same two things. And that is, we do need jobs. We need jobs, creation of jobs. But what we also need are strategic skilling of people done in a faster manner. We can't wait 5 years and 7 years for engineers. We need to consider creatively being able to develop some of these skills through other ways, and perhaps we ought to ourselves be considering the concept of moving through technocons or all those companies that do have large training facilities. Is there some way the government can work with them, the public and private sector, to expand dramatically or significantly those training facilities? So you can't expect perhaps a small shop round the corner, a manufacturing shop or plant, to have that kind of training, but you can expect, in inverted commas, the Kumbas which we saw on that visit that time, I think it's Kumba, plus Billiton, and which we didn't see to the same degree as Acela Mittal, remember, and they pointed that out themselves. So is there something else that we should be considering when we look at admin prices and other input costs? Now, unless you want to comment now, it is going to mean a lot of work on your part as you bring, you know, fine-tune your recommendation, which you should send immediately, if you haven't mentioned it here this morning, to the committee secretary, who's going to put it highlighted in yellow or something, and then he'll consider it in the committee. But on the conclusion, we really need to come, after all this time, to have reached a position to say, after going into this area, what is it that we have learned that we can share that will take us forward? What is there? Is there any single issue that we can honestly say, we never knew this, we now know, and we believe we should, you know, we learned this during this engagement and deliberation, one. Two, are there other areas? In our first report, our conclusion was we should hold a colloquium. Do you remember that? And that was good. Now, what else are you going to say? Three, the issue right now is we have an energy crisis. That's a reality. And the reason we may be having it is because we are committed to industrialization. Now, what is it that we can put in this report that will help the leadership in industry, the private sector, and the public sector to change the way they are doing things? We really need your help now. You've been with me on this, and we've all been together. And we're not looking at ideological statements, but real information. Honorable Mabasa.
Another possible recommendation is that EFCOM and other energy saving areas explore lessons from other countries and other industries with the effect of saving energy consumption. And light which is on, and if there is no body, it is off. It could be a bathroom, but that's simple because it's a unit, but if it's taken at a national scale, you may find such approaches make a difference.
Right. I hear a lot of innovative thinking coming to the fore now. One of the things that struck me after listening to someone a few months back was on water, which you raised the issue again this morning on Bukhavata, where they were talking about, you know, this agro-industry as well, and we sometimes forget agro-industry, that there is a tendency for governments to embark on massive projects, e.g. a huge dam. Please wait, all of you, all the villagers, the kraals, all of you are going to wait, because you know in 7 years' time, we're going to be the big dad and think of everything. So not only does it take longer because of bringing together the financial resources, the planning takes longer, etc. If, on the other hand, we promoted innovation, scientific innovation, etc., we may find we could have built 4 smaller dams, mopped up more labor, greater labor absorption, and people would have benefited far earlier, in fact, in 1 year at the latest, from one of the dams, and so on and so forth. So what about the idea of, who spoke about bringing the supplier and the, and the producers together, and the consumer together. Someone mentioned the distances, remember? Should we not also review that in our planning and try to align some of the work we've already done more closely, instead of trying always to rebuild wheels and all of this nonsense? We've got plans, we know where the urban density is, we know where the farming areas are. Is it not possible, like the milling, to develop small mills all over? Is that not possible? And then your smaller mills could use more renewable energy. So one of the things I thought one could factor in into one's conclusion was at least a consideration into reviewing again our approach to only working on the large infrastructure and also promoting smaller infrastructure with a view to decentralization of some of it. Now, I wouldn't like that just to be mine, I don't know, I'll ask for it to be captured so that we can all consider it on Thursday. But if anyone else has got some ideas in this area, please send them through. All right. Now, I think by now we've exhausted what you wanted to say, am I right? So why don't we adjourn for the moment and simply ask our secretary to prepare the minutes for next week so that we can begin to start voting on some of the minutes. Is that right? Adopting them. Yes, yes, Honourable Kumar.
It seems to me there is a very healthy conversation with the government.
Yes.
And the general population. A very healthy one indeed. What seems to be missing is a sense of agency to do things. And I think that a way must be found to get this sense of agency. On all parties, both business and government, so that those small things, small projects, small plans that can immediately be done. Areas which would allow us to immediately alleviate the challenge of administering trying for instance. If we could get those things done, this over talking and then all of us go back, lay back, lean back, wait for the next meeting to come and then talk all over again, it's becoming a problem.
Yes.
And I think it's a matter that we must, it's a point that we must make in our report. Mm-hmm. Because there is an agency. There is an agency, unemployment is rife, inequality is rife, poverty is rife. All of us must hit the ground running. And I think it's the point that we need to make. And therefore, Chairperson, now I do want to say that after this colloquium and this report must perhaps begin to say, at what stage are we going to come back and say, having had the colloquium, having reported to Parliament, having made this proposal, how far have we gone in beginning to answer the problem that we have identified?
You see, the point that you're making is a holistic thing, which I do believe we should consider factoring into a conclusion and maybe one or two small recommendations. But I think that as the report goes, I think that it's, is there any, as I adjourn the meeting, I don't want us on Thursday to be finding we're having major changes all over. I'm sure you know what I mean, because time will be against us. So I hope in this report, Honourable James, Honourable Hill Lewis as well, that members broadly agree with what is there, because if you don't, the committee secretary needs to know now so we work on it. You know, so while you're not taking the decision now, I got the impression that broadly we agreed with what was there. There may be the odd word or two or this or that. But in principle, with this report, there was a general concurrence, I believe. Honourable Hill Lewis.
Chairperson, I've remembered two of the other recommendations that I wanted to make.
Yeah.
I've written them down here. Do I need to discuss them here or just send them on?
Just read them out, that's
okay.
All, and we won't discuss, you know, we'll go forth.
Okay. I said you, we recommend that there needs to be a fundamental discussion with the Treasury and COGTA about the funding of local governments and the extent to which municipalities are charging exorbitant electricity surcharges to raise revenue. Then I said recommend that there needs to be a more in-depth discussion about the idea of developmental pricing as regards to state-owned enterprises which have legislated monopolies in certain industries, for example, electricity generation.
Yes, I think that both of those can be factored in, and we'll discuss, you know, we'll deliberate on them further on as such. But we'll produce this report, I hope, by, well, it's a holiday tomorrow, but I mean, you can work hard today. So,
didn't you say last week that workers' day so we can work?
Yeah, I did say that, but you know, when I won't make some of the comments I could be making, which could be too facetious for the health of people, but suffice to say, we'll ask all of us to try and get these recommendations in today. Is that all right? Anything you think of, your wording may not be the best, but just send it through. All right. And then...
Can I have some questions not on this, but on Thursday?
Yes, I was just about to say, where is the agenda for Thursday? So now that you yourself are asking about it, no, it's not here yet, thank you.
It is. But Joe is... characters. No, that's another Tuesday one. Have you got the Thursday?
We'll talk to it. Something that we've added, remember from this morning, has been the final processing and consideration of the ITLAB. We know that, all right? We've added that. The second issue will be this report, all right? And there was a third issue, but there were only three issues. What was the third one? Oh no, the subcommittee meets earlier. So let me take your query then, Honourable Mabab.
My question is that I already have an engagement for Thursday in Pretoria. So I wanted to find out if we do our best, at what time can I be excused after we have voted? Because I had already confirmed attendance of the other
obligation. Well, I'm looking at when the subcommittee is sitting, and I'm looking at Honourable Klobart, so just fill me in on this one, please.
On Thursday.
Well, Hill Lewis is also sitting there, aren't you sitting
no,
there? Honourable James?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. So you should free yourselves up by 10, before
yes.
10?
Yes.
Half past nine. We could meet as soon as possible thereafter. So I'm very happy if we were to meet at 9:45. I'm looking at everyone. Half past nine, 9:45. I'm looking at yourself, Honourable Mabasa, you see.
For me, the earlier the better.
Yeah, good. Okay. And then we will tackle the ITLAB, which is the most important because it goes through the two houses. You see, and therefore the space. The second one will take a bit longer, but it is my own intention to complete this as soon as possible. I'm going into hospital on Thursday myself, so I obviously want to get away as much as anyone else. So let's work hard at it. Study the report so that you've got your page-by-page input. If you see anything that is technical, please convey it to the secretary. I'm sure we're all on the same page. Can I leave it there? It is our intention to finish as soon as possible. And perhaps this could be hot past 11. Thank you. Yes.
Should it happen that we correct well without me, I will ask to leave. But it's something that we will look at on that day.
Yes, I hear what you are saying. Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone, and all the staff.